with a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
You have a long list of things to deal with. Check dry eye symptoms off with Refresh Reliva PF Extra Lubricant Eye Drops, offering an advanced formula to soothe and hydrate your dry eyes. Refresh Reliva PF Extra includes moisture-locking technology that prevents further irritation and gives you lasting relief. You deserve relief from your dry eye symptoms, and your eyes deserve extra. Find Refresh online or in the eye drop section at all major retailers, FSA and HSA eligible.
Astonishing Legends Network.
Listen to the Astonishing Junk Drawer exclusively at patreon.com/astonishinglegends.
A giant up on a mountain range.
I just got stopped by like some CIA agent.
You know there's something right behind you.
What?
Ed, you seem like you have something you want to say.
I don't think you can park there.
So you've been to Point Pleasant.
It's near a Cheesecake Factory. This is all looking up. Men in Black, law enforcement thing.
If he was shooting that on the way up, he would have had to go way out of his way.
CIA or...
I just want to give you an update. I'm not dead.
Well, that's why this is on Patreon.
Legends are still being created right now.
Astonishing Legends would like to thank BetterHelp, our contributors at patreon.com, and you, our listeners, for making tonight's show possible.
About a year ago, we went to the first Monster Fest, a convention dreamed up by the folks at Small Town Monsters, held in Canton, Ohio. Small Town Monsters is an independent production company helmed by our friend, director and producer, Seth Breedlove. We first met Seth way back in 2018 while attending the Kent Paranormal Weekend in Kent, Ohio. It's hard to believe that was 6 years ago. But since then, Small Town Monsters has flourished with multiple films in production annually, which we almost always back on Kickstarter because you get such cool swag. Monster Fest was quite a success in 2023, and within a few weeks of it wrapping up, Courtney, the business manager for them, reached out to us and said, "If we do this again, will you come back?" And we immediately said yes. So yesterday, we recorded a live show in the speaker hall at Monster Fest 2024. And on top of that, we were joined by Ed Vacola and Chris Coulari from the hit Astonishing Legends Network show, Scared All the Time. It might have come off the rails a little bit, but it was a blast. We talked about a lot of things, including the fact that the Doubletree by Hilton Canton downtown, where Monster Fest has been held the past 2 years, appears to be haunted. It's built on the bones of an older hotel constructed in 1986 called the McKinley Grand. That one was named after former President William McKinley, a Canton native.
Welcome back to Astonishing Legends. I'm Scott Philbrook, and this is Forrest Burgess.
I don't have a quote yet for this show, because we're recording this before we get there. Forrest Burgess.
Join us tonight for our live show from Monster Fest 2024 with special guests Ed and Chris from Scared All the Time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Astonishing Legends. I'm Scott Philbrook. This is Forrest Burgess.
And this is Forrest Burgess. Are we recording? Or are you
yeah,
just
we're recording.
Up? Oh.
This thing is on. And these guys are Ed and Chris from the new show from Astonishing Legends Network, Scared hello, All the Time.
Hello.
Hi, hello.
And this is probably on the fear tier right now. Like
I don't love this, yeah. This
I've never done stand-up with four people on stage. Yeah.
Chris is less nervous for never having done stand-up. Ed is more nervous for having done stand-up in his comedy career.
I've never experienced
once bit, twice shy.
I see. So. Okay. Well, you're both doing very well.
Sweet.
Who here has listened to Scared All the Time yet?
Oh, hey, wow.
All right.
And what are the things you hate about it? Just let that was the best time
just
to really...
Just get up in the middle and raise your hand.
It's grievances. It's time to air our grievances.
Yeah, yeah.
Frankly, every podcaster goes through kind of a honeymoon phase. Rich Haddam's going through it now where you're glowing and basking in the great reviews. And I said, well, just wait.
Yeah.
Because there'll be a few that upset you so much, you turn it into a T-shirt that you'll wear on public occasions.
Oh, Scott's got one of those, yeah.
So what's going to happen is that it's just how people react to it. And what if anything can make you feel good, it's like you'll talk. If you do ever talk to them, it's like, oh, first of all, I didn't know anybody read your emails.
Yeah.
So thanks for reading the really crappy review I left. Also, I don't hate the show. I just don't like anything you do about it. Yeah. And so you do, it's a very strange relationship, but that's, again, I'm tying this into how people react to paranormal things that happen. Either you ignore them, you wonder about them, you research them, or you just think everything else that happens that people have told you about is crap. and that they're all fair, it's all okay, because, again, it's a very personal thing. Again, like anything in life, but also podcasting, until you have your own, you don't know what torture it can be and what joys can be imagined and embraced.
Yeah, we've discovered the deepest depths and the highest highs already, so it's pretty good. And it's excited that some people here have seen us and some people have come to our table, and that's been really cool. And after this, feel free, if you haven't come to our table, we've got, like, exclusive buttons and stuff. We're just handing them out, so come grab them.
It's not exactly their table, it's our
table. Excuse me?
Yeah.
For the people just listening, I'm pointing to how we've defaced your... Yes. Astonishing Legends table, because this is a network takeover, people.
Yeah, it's a network takeover.
You're all here to see it live.
So I think we're going to kind of be winging it here. Forrest, I understand that you were planning to play something off the DR-60.
Yeah, that's only if we had nothing else to talk about.
Well,
so,
that's...
Do you want to go there now is what I'm asking, because it's really anticlimactic. One, if you don't get anything. Two, if you do it at the top of the show.
Oh, you're going to do a live recording?
I was going to try it live.
That's
we can do all that.
Don't
we can do all that now.
Don't do that. Don't
we can
do
that.
I thought I thought you were going to play the one you got at your house.
No, I'm just voguing for time here. I'm just saying that I could take this out.
Vamping.
And
vamping.
Again, going back to Larry Sanders' show when Hank Kingsley wanted to be his own host one evening, and he tells Artie, it's like, Artie, you're going to love the show. I'm going to open with a showstopper. He's like, Hank, you don't open with a showstopper. Yeah. Everybody knows what this little... $1,200 piece of crap is, right?
Hasn't been in my house in a long time.
Nah, it's fine. Yeah. Here's the thing. I'm always looking for a way to defeat the monsters, I've said on the show, even when I was a kid. I was never one to hide under the covers or under the bed. I wanted to stab and poke whatever was hiding behind the door or under the bed.
Nice.
How you defeat this thing, and not to be afraid of it, is that you leave the batteries in for a very long time, and then all the recordings evaporate, which is what has happened to this thing. So file 10, all the weird stuff we've gotten. I had a really good EVP. That's what I was telling you about last time. Those eventually just fade. If you change the batteries within, I don't know, probably a couple of weeks after they totally die, you can kind of save it. I think these are irretrievable. But I do have a few here that I recently got. This is a few weeks ago.
I hope these are just note to selves.
Yeah.
It's like note to self. Forrest, pick
milk.
Up eggs.
Because I don't know what the first...
There's a lot of hesitation for these not being note to selves.
Oh, that's right. Scared all the time. You're scared. You're going to be scared of these.
Good.
They're like I said, they're pretty indicative of what you usually get. As I've told folks here, the fact that it didn't work when trying to do this live, again, it doesn't prove anything other than it doesn't do it all the time, and it's not always exactly sounding the same. But maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, last month, I tried it at home, something paranormal researchers and investigators tell you never to do, because then you know what's there. And frankly, my attitude, again, I don't care what's there. I want to know what it is and how do I defeat it.
Yeah.
If you folks remember the Sludge Entity episodes, one of the psychic mediums that worked with Houston Ghost Research and James Sangster and his group, his name is Lori West. Some of you have even reached out to her for readings and clearings and this and that, spirit remediation. So I've gotten to know Lori over the few years because I think she actually did do some good work and help with my friend.
Yeah.
And so I played this for her because she said, well, I'm kind of viewing. She does a little bit remote viewing, take a drink, curse the recording now. She did say that I don't sense anything negative at your house. I said, well, I've had a couple of things happen. My parents' air conditioner turned on by itself. Not a big thing. It's just weird when it's been sitting for a whole year, and suddenly it comes on at a specific moment. Scott and I were recording, and he thought he heard the door open and close to the recording space.
While you were not in the studio.
While I was not there. It's like, okay, very vague kind of thing. So I thought, let's get this thing out and see what is here, if anything. So I think I did three. So two are down in the space that I record in, and I'm kind of rude because I cut him off, whatever this thing is, but I'll just play this for you, and it's going to be loud.
Is there any entity here that would like to speak to me? Can you tell me your name?
I thought you said this was anticlimactic.
Well,
we're going to need a bleep tone on
we
this
have different,
that's going to follow me home.
We have different points of view about what's dramatic, climatic, and a good result.
That was great.
For me, it's...
Great, yeah,
again,
great.
It's like, I can't hear you, then...
Wait, was that the one
the
you
point?
Just... You got at the house you're living
well,
in
Well, that's
now?
Just one. So that's... And again, this thing, you know, the way these things work, there's two different settings. One is voice activation.
Never investigate your own house.
You know,
okay,
look,
right. You know what? That's the recorder. Everybody says, oh, it's got a horrible sample rate. It's all the sensitivity is doing it. It's just
Listen, here's the rule on this. If you don't think that this thing is actually getting anything, is that whatever you do to it, whatever setting you have, that's the thing that's going to trigger some just random noise.
Yeah.
That it's making on its own. It's notorious for this. That's why people traded them in, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
My point is that that sounded like some words to me.
Yeah, definitely words.
Did it sound like... Who else thinks it sounds like words?
For the people who are just listening to this later in the future, there's a lot of hands that went up.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
So oh, thank you.
It's
Ed.
An audio
thank
medium.
Thank you, Ed.
Guys.
Thank yeah. you.
It yeah. sounds like yeah. talking. It's not the local radio station advertising 4th of July tire sales. It's yeah. not... It also sounds responsive to me, even though I can't make anything out.
Wait, so, can you play that one again? Just one more time?
Sure.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to Ramp.com and love finance again.
Hi, this is Chris Perez, and yes, I skinwalk. But on my days off at the ranch, I listen to Astonishing Legends with Scott Philbrook and Forrest Burgess. Now, let's get back to the show.
As I play this, and you won't be able to see this, but I'll do this here while we're talking, is that this red activation light will start to flicker when it's on voice-activated setting mode, and it seems to work best when I have it there, and... If it doesn't go off, you know you're not getting anything, which is why I was a little, not nervous, but disappointed, let's say, last time when I was here and got no action on it. When it's flickering, you know that you're picking up something and it's silent. It shouldn't be doing that. So it's a flaw with the recorder that, oh, the activation light comes on when there's no voice, but it's generating something and it's also triggering that it is getting a voice or some kind of audio and recording it. But what I was going to say, that's what happens, or when you see it, it's being active. And so I didn't see that for a few minutes. I don't want to sit here for 30 minutes trying to record something. So I cut the, whatever that thing is, I cut it off. So I apologize for ending it. But here's that recording again.
Is there any entity here that would like to speak to me? Can you tell me your name?
It's got real talking vibes.
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
my point.
It's like a speech pattern.
It's got talking vibes.
You need to move.
The only thing is...
Yeah.
It sounds like it says its name is Matt, which is not the scariest name for whatever.
No. Matt. Scooter. Yeah, you know, there's true. Names that are less.
Whatever it is, though, yeah, you got to get out of there. You're not going to be here next year.
Look, so it's all.
Yeah, it's real.
I'm going to play the other two.
I heard more phonetics in it the second time, weirdly.
Yeah, that's the nature of these kind of things. Yeah. People pick up different names or different words. Yeah. It's very personal. Sometimes, you know, if you believe in psychic mediums, I think it helps where. This is what I'm going to say. I got Lori's opinion on these next two or all three of them, and she had some views I'll tell you about after I play this, but it's an anomalous response. So here's the second of three.
It is Friday, May 31st, 2024. I'm in my basement recording space. Is there anyone here that would like to speak to me, and can you tell me your name? I'm sorry we got cut off last time.
And it goes on like that
this
for
is,
quite a while.
This is the epic poem of EVP, I feel like.
Well, there's no sense, I think, in playing the rest of that one. I did let it go on. Let me play the last one, a little bit of that. But what it does give you is a sense of the type or the nature, the audio timbre.
Well, honestly, when you told it to slow down, it seemed like it did to me. Right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It seemed to be a little bit responsive. So here's the last time I think I went into my bedroom. I probably slate this one with that fact, but okay. I ask it a third time because it's like, okay, I got a response. Well, that's interesting. Can you help me out here and enunciate?
I'm speaking to any entity that might be in this house. Can you please tell me your name? And speak into this recorder here that I'm holding. Slowly and clearly, please.
Yo, that's the least clear one.
Yeah, I did not enunciate.
That's... That whole thing's your name, huh?
It slows down. Here's... Okay, we'll have Sarah kind of fade
that
out.
Yeah, Sarah. Good luck, Sarah. Yeah, good luck.
Come back to that later.
What you want to do is feed that through an AI and see if it can
figure
out
what it's
saying.
That's really a great idea because we've had over the years...
I disagree with everything that's happening here.
I don't like this, what's going on either.
Yeah, we don't want to train the AI on hell speech either. That's probably...
Well, that's one of the points about discussing this is that... What is the nature? Is everything you see, you know, everybody bags on all the ghost shows. It's like, not everything's a demon. And I agree. In here, not everything's angry. Not everything is screaming at you.
I think this one's aware of that. It seems to only be on that speed.
No, but I do. I think it's interesting. I get what you're saying, that like just because to our ears it sounds aggressive doesn't necessarily mean that it is the way that like a large wave can knock you over, but it's just the natural.
I've come around to this a little bit since, you know, our first experience with that thing.
That's on me then.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no, but it's maybe it is just having a problem getting its message across.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you about the any message here. I mean,
I have a question for us. With those three different rooms, you said you moved to the bedroom?
The first two that I played are from the recording space where I record the show. So it's downstairs and then
the dungeon. That's why you're getting stuff like this?
Yeah, that's one reason. But then I moved to a space that's almost directly above that. So I'm not sure if it's spatial or around there, but I don't think it has to do with a particular room in the house. And I'll explain that in a second here. But as far as like what you're getting here, what I've come to believe about what it is that whatever is speaking through from the other side, and I do believe it is something otherworldly, it could be something as simple. It could be angry and shouting, or it could be something with a recording device. And if I want, my turkey wrap sandwich, no cheese. That's not a horrible message, but I'm overmodulating.
Yeah. I heard kind of a horrible message in one of them.
Did you?
Yeah.
Let's hear it. Tell us what you heard.
Are there kids in here?
I mean, you can bleep it out.
Oh, hi.
Earmuffs.
Yes, I remember you. You guys are so cool. I really can say. It was F your grandma.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. I definitely heard. It was like you were like, tell me what you want or whatever, and I heard an F your grandma.
Tell me what you want. Yeah. You got to put it out.
Oh, that's a different world, I guess. That's a different spin.
Yeah. It's on a vision board really. Wherever they are.
I don't know. I mean, if you play it back, I bet people would hear it. But like, I mean,
well, I'll spare people from that. But I will say what Lori, because I played it for her.
She didn't hear
just
that.
Over the phone.
She's better at this than I am.
Well, the couple things that she did pick up on, I say, and then again, if you believe in spiritual mediumship, maybe that's some place where you'll get some kind of answer that's more tangible than just hearing a bunch of that. She felt whatever it was said its name was William, and that it was enthusiastic about telling its story, that it was not something tied to the house, it was not some kind of infestation, that it belonged more so to the land back from the pioneer days when there were settlers. There were native people on the grounds. It was something that this William character had been accused of, maybe even punished for, maybe even hung, that he felt he was innocent of and wanted to get that across. And again, none of this is provable. So it's interesting in that it's, I think there's something there. I don't have a bad feeling about it. Watching whatever I'm doing in the house, it's like, well, I've been here many, many years. It's a house I at one point grew up in. It's just part of life. Spirits are everywhere, I believe, roaming around.
Yeah. All the time.
You don't always get a reaction, and that's comforting, and I don't think they care much about what we're doing, unless it's a space that they own, perhaps, and they want you out, and your redecorating is bothering them.
So I have a question for Ed and Chris here, Scared All Time Guys.
Sure.
Where do you guys come down on EVPs?
I know, I've listened to EVPs, I've heard EVPs. That's one of the, I feel like, the more like longest and most consistent EVPs I've ever heard. Like, I feel like the ones I'm familiar with are usually the, like, you ask a question and then it's like, oh, and then...
Yeah, you get one word or a few word sentence answer.
Yeah.
That's the strange thing about this. I don't know why it does this. I mean, not that I laughed, but we were talking earlier about the Zach Bagans episode. I think it was from Tintic Mine, and he of course has a nice one of these. I think probably that was still
in the
package.
Yeah, he got one of those ones on eBay. It's still in the package. It's
three still got the stickers on it. And he got like a couple of snippets of that voice, and they freaked out like, oh my God, listen to that. It's like, you like that? I got about 40 minutes of that.
Yeah.
Well, I think my opinion of it was like I had one opinion pre your Sally House episode and a totally different opinion post Sally House episode. But I believe all that stuff all the time is like that's what you're picking up. I'm not like a technical error person.
Right.
Yeah. So, but you need to get out of there.
Again, it's all how you view it.
I get it. The market, but the bank.
Yeah,
will
the
work
market.
With you.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe perhaps one day, but like I said, it doesn't matter where you go, they're there.
Yeah.
And you just may not be hearing from them. So you want to see if we can hear anything now? You want to try this out?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, again.
Are you going to hold it or are you going to put it down? Like
I'm going to hold it because...
What about handling noise?
Now, that also seems to work better if I am holding it. Then you're kind of an antenna. The people here also like to, like Scott,
yeah, well, just to be well, to be clear, at the Sally House, it was on a table in a room with the door closed right. on a floor that nobody was on at that time.
Here's the other thing. I think you can set this up in the best laboratory setting you can find, and your results may or may not be repeatable, which is what science wants. It wants repeatable reactions to stimulus in the same ways then it can be measured, which I agree with, but that's not how all this works. And it's probably not going to work right now, but let's give it a try. So everybody, if they could, remain absolutely silent for this next experiment. Is there any entity here that would like to speak to us and our audience? Okay, there's probably too much background noise here, but we'll see. We'll see what we got.
Is there any entity here that would like to speak to us and our audience?
And the answer is no.
Well, had we heard the hotel is haunted? Was there...
Yes, the hotel is haunted.
Okay.
And there's been a lot of things going on here for a long time. A lot of okay. attacks, assaults, murders.
Just put that on the poster.
Yeah. <That'll> get... Well, not since it was the DoubleTree before, but it's on the bones of a much older hotel. There's right. been a hotel in this lot since 1901.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Forrest and Scott, thank you for supporting their sponsors. I'm Tony. Now back to the show.
Well, speaking of which, it might be a good time to see if we want to hear some of the stories from the audience, maybe.
Okay, right. yes.
You want to see that? And like, India, you want to tell your story? This is India, everyone. I remember her name. She came to our tables.
Yes, thank you for signing my hat.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I have a shadow person story. So I remember I was in La Porte, Indiana, where I grew up, and I was in a production of Cinderella at the La Porte Little Theater. We get done with the show, and there's this group of people that I recognize. I'm like, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, oh, we're staying after to do a ghost hunt. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes. I was like 14. And so we go under the stage, and a couple things happen when we're under the stage during the ghost hunt. The biggest thing was that there was this light under the stage trap door. It's the stairs that go from the trap door to the basement, and there's a light underneath the stairs. There's things getting thrown around, like little pieces of brick and wood, and one thing gets thrown and breaks glass, and we're all in the wall, and this is in the center of the room, and we turn on the lights, we're like, oh gosh, something broke, and it's that light under the trap door stairs. It's shattered, but there's a table right underneath. And none of that glass is on that table where it should have fallen onto. It's all on the floor underneath. And so that was weird. But then after that, the main part of the story is I went home. I was living at my dad's house. And for 2 weeks, I would wake up every night. And the first time I remember this happening, I'd wake up, and I didn't think that it was really happening. It must have been a dream. But I look at my door, and it's open, and there's always, like, a nightlight from the family room, and I see this figure, and I'm just, like, laying in bed, right? And I see it, and I'm like, what is that? And I get up, and I look. I think it's my dad, and I'm like, Dad? And it just goes like, and then it runs away. And then that happens almost every night for, like, 2 weeks. And then I remember... Oh, I actually got some sleep that night, and I never mentioned this to my dad, but we were just watching Lord of the Rings one night, as you do, and he's like, this weird thing happened to me, and I just, I don't know if it was a dream. He woke up he tells me the same exact thing. He wakes up, and his door is right next to his bed, so if he looks up, that's where his door is if you're lying down. And he's like, I was startled, and then I looked at this figure, and it was just a shadow, and then I could see that it was startled when it noticed that I could see it. And then he started to get up, and he said, it ran away. And I was like, no, that has been happening to me for 2 weeks. And then after we kind of recognized that this thing was here, it didn't come anymore. Like, it just kind of followed me from the theater, I think, and was just checking us out, like, who are these people? They were in my territory. I'm going to go check out their territory. So, yeah, that's my story of a shadow person that came to visit my house.
Yeah, any questions about that?
I have a question.
Chris has a question.
Were you able to make out any kind of details or just like person shaped?
It was just person shaped and it blocked light. So I knew that it was a mass, but you could not see any figure, like any facial expression or anything. It was just a black mass.
That's really creepy. Did you ever look into anything that ever happened at the theater that might have been lurking, like?
It used to be an old Lutheran church that was connected to a Lutheran school, and the school was abandoned for a long time. Like, I remember bats flying out of the chimney, that thing, but the LaPorte Little Theater Club had it for almost 100 years. The LaPorte Theater Club had it, so before that, it was a school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm happy it was a coy, skittish shadow person.
Yeah, I think it's great that it left.
It's great. It read the room, honestly.
His isn't. His so.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
I think it moved to Forrest's. Yeah. But that's a great story. That's pretty wild.
Yeah. Wait, okay, so show of hands. How many people here have seen like a shadow figure?
Thank you so much, India.
Oh my God. How much time do you think we have?
Okay.
It's not typical, but it's more common than you think.
Yeah.
And that's why when the shadow person episode was one of our earliest Halloween episodes, I think, maybe our second year, we started looking into it. Scott thought it was all Benadryl related. And
I don't remember that.
Yeah, but a lot of people do.
It's not wrong.
Yeah, you know, that can happen. And
I was more of a skeptic then.
Why?
Yeah.
But so many people who see them in the middle of the day or aren't on antihistamines.
Yeah.
Or overloading on something.
None of the things that I've ever experienced have ever been like a shadow figure. That's why I was kind of curious, because I feel like it's something that I hear about and it sounds fascinating and frightening, but I've never actually experienced it.
Right. And as you go to research your show, I think you probably have found that there's often a general umbrella label for something or some phenomenon, but then when you look into it, there are a lot of different variations on that. And I think with shadow, a shadow or a shape, a shade, a haint, that's another term,
haint.
We came across, it's specific to the South. There are different types of things causing the shadow. So it's not just there is a shadow person. I think that's a different thing, whatever that thing is, maybe multidimensional. There are ghosts, I think, like at Pontefract, which are causing a shadow, but may not be a shadow person. There's the hat man,
right.
on and on. Right. So you have different things that are appearing as a shadow, or in centuries past, the black monk, whatever names we have for them, are different things, but appear the same. And so we all have a limited vocabulary in how to describe those. So
we actually had our first episode was the hat man, and we've been really bad about doing follow-up like email episodes, but we did get some emails.
Heard it here first, folks. We're bad about follow-up emails.
But we got an email. So one of the things I like to do when I research this stuff is really try to put it into a historical context of what was happening in pop culture, what was happening in the world, what kind of things might people have been thinking about, or, you know, that could trigger seeing things that, you know, whatever, either are there or not there, or how they interpret it. And so one of the things that we looked at was the appearance of the men in black as something in UFO folklore and like G-men and where all that came from. And so what we asked was if anybody had a hat man story from before, like
1930 something.
And we did get an email from someone saying that her great grandmother had a hat man experience in like 1918 or 1920 or something, which is by far the earliest hat man story. And it wasn't quite the traditional. It was a dark figure with a hat. It wasn't the way she described it, it wasn't quite the traditional, like, exact fedora look that you think of when you hear Hat Man.
Well, those hats weren't invented or fashionable then, so you're going to get you're going to get Top Hat Man. Or
exactly. Abraham Lincoln.
That's part
of
what I find so interesting is, like, assuming that this is an entity of some kind that that, you know, is interested in people, one of the things I'm so curious about is, like, why the fashion changes, like, why, like, why is it keeping up with the kinds of hats or whatever? And to me, so, like, I would be fascinated to find how far back we would even find a story of an entity like that wearing a hat, because a hat's a pretty modern concept relatively. But I think all of that plays into the phenomenon, like, whatever it is, there seems to be these kind of inexplicable elements.
You need a hat or a hood.
You need a hat or a hood if you're a monk.
The monk's cowling or cowl or robe. There are thematic kind of things. There's also colors. We come to find there's the red man, the purple man, the yellow man. Horns are another big thing. Why the horns? Does that interfere with the hat? There's a lot of questions.
True,
I don't know the reasons, but we're trying to reason this from the perspective of human beings alive.
I think we should try to get one more story in.
We'll try the device one last time.
Hi, I'm Corinne. I'm a professional energy clearer, so I have a lot of fun stories. The one that I have permission to tell, because I used to work with real estate agents to help them with selling houses when they had houses that would inexplicably not sell. And the one that I have is one of my favorite stories, and it's going to be on my podcast. There's this house in an area of Columbus that was like a really well-to-do area, and it was like all houses sold like hotcakes. And this particular house stood on the market for months and months and months, and it kept going into contract and falling through, which is, again, almost not heard of, especially in the Columbus market. And so finally, I was called in because like nothing else was working. So I go into this house, and immediately I am hit with this like heaviness. So when you do energy clearing, oftentimes you get information like in your mind's eye, and you just kind of have to trust it. What ended up happening with this house is that the man who owned it was bedbound and a cat hoarder. Yeah, and the cat, like, it was so bad that they had to do like special precautions to deal with the cat smell. But there had been an entity there that was feeding off of this man and keeping him kind of beholden to the space. But now that that man was gone, the entity was just kicking it in that house and scaring away people. So that's why it kept going into contract, and it was falling through, and it was falling through. So when I was called in, I had to basically deal with this entity who was hanging out in the attic. It kept doing things like ruining the plumbing. It kept causing contractors to, they went through several contractors before someone finally stayed and finished the work. So when I cleared it, it showed up as a little girl, because they always show up like little girls. I don't know what that is. But they showed up as little girls with no face. And I took it out, and then I had to seal off the rest of the property so things couldn't come back. And then 2 weeks later, it sold. The house sold. So, yeah. Lots of things, so.
Well, any questions about realty?
I'm in the market. So here's a question. I ran into a woman earlier. I don't know if she's here or not, but I ran into a woman earlier who was telling me that she has fairies in her home that are causing an issue, and she said that she was looking to buy railroad spikes from somebody to place in the four corners of her property to drive off the fairies. Is that a thing?
That's a thing. And okay. It will work, but like with all things. So I actually wanted to talk about like forests. If you have things going on in your house, easily dealt with. Like all things are easily dealt with because our human bodies are actually meant to clear space. Think of it like taking a shower. You know, you can clear things, and things are very easily dealt with should you kind of own what you're capable of. So fairies are causing her a problem. What she really needs to do, railroad spikes will help, I guess, but that's more of a Dumbo feather. really what's happening is that she's understanding that she is what you can call the operant in power. She is the powerful one, and this is her space. And so she stands in her sovereignty and be like, hey, this is my space. You're not welcome. You do not have consent to be here. And that can help clear them out. Same with your thing. If you have something that's like kind of bothering you, stopping you from sleeping, you just stand in your power. I use frequency pulsing, but that's like a whole thing. We don't have to do that now. But like, it is very easy to clear a space out and hold it. And it's all about remembering that you are sovereign and nothing has permission to be in your space feeding off of you. Because a lot of this stuff is parasitic, not in a bad way. It's just kind of the nature of it. And you like push it out. You're not welcome. Hold your boundaries.
And there is something about the material itself, iron, right, being having a property to it.
Yeah, that's totally a thing. It absolutely works, especially if it happens to be fairies. But she also could be dealing with things that are, like, that's just how she's interpreting it.
Right.
You know, you don't know if that's actually what's happening. But, like, again, Dumbo feather. Like, either way, if you're holding power of, like, hey, this is not acceptable, you're not welcome here, that alone creates boundaries.
It's been a long time since I've seen Dumbo. is that like a placebo for you?
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
That's what I was thinking.
It's like a tool,
okay.
You know, like like sage is useful until it's not. Palo Santo, useful until it's not. The whole idea is that it's actually just amplifying what we already do naturally.
Right.
And you create a situation where you're holding space, holding autonomy and sovereignty against things trying to come at you.
What's the name of your show, Corinne?
It's called Which Way From Here, W-I-T-C-H, Which Way From Here.
All right, everybody, please give Corinne a big round of applause. Yeah.
Is there another person here with a story?
We got two.
My name's Dan. Short story, so I went to college, Eastern Central Ohio, and we had one little patch of woods, maybe a couple acres back behind college. And I always heard from a bunch of people, it's like, yeah, you don't walk through there at night by yourself. I mean, I grew up in the country, it didn't bother me at all. Walked out there a bunch with people all the time, no issues. You could wander through these woods. There was a path that went back through to like a pond back behind school. I was out there one night just kind of sitting and reading, and I'm like, oh, I've lost track of time. It's getting dark. Started walking back. And no sooner had I crossed the threshold of where the forest actually started there, just the most oppressive feeling of get out that I've ever felt. It was dead silent in there, and I just kind of stood for a minute. I'm like, I can't really walk around this safely. So I just tried to kind of hustle through, and about halfway through, I'm just kind of muttering to myself, I'm like, I'm just passing through. Please don't mind me. And it seemed like it let up a little. And I got back, and I told one of my friends who had said something to me in the past, and he goes, oh, yeah, that's a thing. I'm like, oh, that's just a thing? He's like, yeah, that's just a thing. I'm like, okay, cool. Love that. Thanks. But, yeah, I didn't wander out there by myself during the night anymore. Any other time I was out with friends, like, oh, I've never had any problems. I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. But, yeah, it was real weird and not a fun feeling.
Right. Well, we're glad you made it.
Awesome, thank you.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mrs. Sawbones, and you're listening to the...
I'm Kate, and my daughter actually asked me to tell this story. I was on a hike in Colorado Springs with my boyfriend a couple months ago, and he asked if there was something I wanted to do besides go for a hike, so I'm like, let's look for the haunted stuff. And we found a haunted lantern tour for this place called Cave of the Winds in Manitou Springs. They discovered it in the 1880s. These two little boys were playing ball near it, and they heard some really loud, strong winds, and it scared them, so they ran away. And, of course, people came back, looked, found out it was a whole cave system that's even bigger than Luray Caverns. So there's a part of it that is dark, kind of spooky, kind of scary, so they do this lantern tour. Well, we found out that it's, of course, haunted. And when we went through with the lanterns, we were the first tour of the day, and they run tours every half hour, and we kept hearing this other tour group. Our tour guide kept stopping and saying hello, and nobody would answer, but we heard voices talking the whole time. We ran into the third tour group of the day towards the end and found out that the one that was scheduled after us got canceled. So they have no idea who it was we were hearing down there. There's also a part of the tour where they put you in complete blackness so you can have an idea of what perfect dark looks like. And it was pretty spooky, but three of us actually ended up seeing flashes of white, and we had found out that there was a young woman who had wanted to get married in the caves, and right before she was due to get married, she found out her fiancé had gotten killed in a wagon accident, so she killed herself on site, and that's who we'd seen. But the freakiest part of the whole tour was there's this 25-foot pit that's actually fenced off, and some woman had almost gotten dragged down by some entity with no face that she couldn't see, that she couldn't really see apart from the hand. She thought someone had fallen in, so she had reached out her hand to help them out, and it was this thing with no face. So we got invited to go look at the pit, and I've never felt such a sense of dread in my entire life as being 20 feet away from that pit.
This sounds like a really great hike.
Yeah.
Do you know when the fence was installed? This is like after all of the stuff. Like it was an open hole originally. The person got dragged.
Open hole, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So I hope they use the muttering technique of the previous speaker, who was like, just building a fence here. Just building a fence. Don't mind me. Yeah. Just building a fence.
Well, it turned out that this entity apparently didn't like people from Texas, and the woman was from Texas.
Oh, so it was a specific kind of
specific
thing going,
hatred,
yeah.
Okay.
Prejudice, yeah.
You have any questions? Anybody? Does anybody have any questions for us or for I'm sorry, tell me your name again.
Caden.
All right, so my question is for Forrest.
Okay, I guess.
Do you think, I know we've been talking about hitchhiker effect. Is there any thought that maybe your recent EVPs are a hitchhiker effect from the Sally House and you've just never known it?
Well, I was told I had picked something up, not from the Sally House, but from a trip to New Orleans. So I don't know if people remember Podern Love. Was going to be a convention for podcast listeners, all different genres, and they ran into some trouble here with their hotel that they'd booked at and had to cancel, but I'd still had a ticket to New Orleans. So fortunately, Jill and Roger had shown up. They made a long drive to kind of rescue me from boredom of being there by myself. Also, not really boredom, but Jerry, Pauly, and Tracy were there. They're terrific people. You know, they have their own podcast. They were there also on this trip, but it was a very weird, kind of a weird trip in that, you know, I love the city. We had an interview of sorts, or a private, I guess a history lesson from Bloody Mary, and she's a local historian and figure, does energy work, has tours there. She has her museum now in the property she acquired, which was the Zach and Addie murder apartment. I don't know if you folks know that story. It's pretty gruesome. Happened around a little after Katrina, the hurricane came through. And what she described, as I've been telling people here, that it was so tumultuous here, not only with the weather, but the people living there, that it caused a lot of supernatural chaos, and since then everything was just kind of topsy-turvy, up in the air, a lot of dark negative entities that were now collecting there like a supernatural grease trap, and it caused a lot of discord of sort. So I had a psychic medium do a little reading on me, Jim Hunt. We had an episode with him, and he was saying, Forrest, I think you have some kind of a, there's something behind you. It's like it's sitting kind of on the kitchen counter, and it's kind of insectoid. And I was like, well, that's interesting. I don't really feel anything. I don't feel insecty or buggy.
Give it time.
But he said, you know.
And I didn't see anything behind you in that
moment. There's something there. And he said, well, you know, I think it's something you picked up. He said, have you been in any place that was kind of damp or, you know, had a lot of standing water? I said, well, New Orleans was very wet. There's a lot of puddles. He said, you may have picked something up just walking through a puddle. And it came back to you. And he said, it may be somewhat alien in nature. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, think about it. If there's humans here and you believe in spirits and they pass away and they leave a trace of some kind of a soul or presence, and then you go further and you believe that we've been visited by alien entities of sorts, well, they don't live forever either. And they also leave behind some kind of a spiritual presence. And he said, I think that's maybe what it is. And to that all I say, well, I don't know because I can't see any of it. I didn't really feel any different. And he said, well, let me just do a little clearing. So he did, as he described, kind of envisioning a mirror band of like a Mobius strip. And he said, I'm reflecting it back out into the world. And I said, well, that's terrific. Thank you very much for that. And I'm not, again, not to be flippant. It's something that's kind of intangible. And people can tell you these things. And it's like, I don't know. I can't, I don't have any feeling or one way or the other. And then we talked with him again about a week later, and he said, well, it's still there, so let me do more work. And I guess it was cleared. I haven't had any real readings to kind of find that out later. So it's a very nebulous, you know, intangible world, and I don't think that anything has really, like what I was describing, another psychic medium said, like, well, no, it doesn't have anything to do with you or the house or, you know, your family. It's just there with the land. It's always been there since, you know, probably the 1800s and settlers moved in. And you're on another layer living on top of them, and where they're kind of intermixing, and you're all kind of there together, just invisible. And I do wonder what they see of us on the other side from their perspective, because we can't see them. So, but to answer your question, no, I don't think anything's follow me back, but the other part of that answer is, I don't know. I wish I had that kind of sense to see these things. On the other hand, it's best maybe not to see them, because it gives you some peace, and you're not bombarded with spiritual hand-raising from the other side, wanting to tell you things and get your attention and bothering you, because a lot of psychic mediums I've talked to, you have to learn how to turn off that faucet. Otherwise, you're flooded with info because they desperately want to talk to you. And that's what Laurie West said about this, whatever this is, this gentleman desperately wants to get his story told because, as she says, like, well, he's probably relieved that it could be 100 years, you know, 150 years. No one has heard this person. And finally, now somebody can hear it. And that is, although I don't believe that there's any sense of time on the other side, now that's very exciting to them. And boy, do I have a story to tell you.
I'm glad that I'm not sensitive to it, because I feel like being on social media is bad enough. And I don't need 1,000 voices from beyond also being like, by the way, here's what I think of you.
It's my birthday.
Yeah, what?
It's my birthday.
Yeah,
damn.
Exactly.
Hashtag you're haunted.
Yeah, yeah, I feel like we've all made it this far with whatever these things are around us all the time. Mm-hmm. So like whatever it is, it's like it's curiosity. And I think that's part of, I don't know, at least the way that we talk about fears on our show, even though we haven't done too much supernatural stuff, I feel like we always just want to approach it, whether it's real or like grounded in the day-to-day meat space of us or ghosts or whatever, we want to approach it with a sense of curiosity. And I think as long as you approach it respectfully and curiously, I mean, some of you may have had different experiences, but generally I feel like we're okay. So
we call that for now. That's a for now situation.
Yeah, true. Well,
I think it's all a level. It's like how much you meet a stranger. It's okay to meet people and talk to them out on the street. It's another thing to invite them back to your home.
True, yes.
And you have, I think as Corinne was saying, you have a responsibility as well to monitor that as best you can, and you can stand up for yourself, and you're stronger than you know. in what you can and can't do for yourself, but it all comes from intention. Intention's a big word that gets kicked around, especially these days lately. But I think it does have a lot to do with what you're allowing. And we've talked with some friends here that were paranormal investigators and Warwick, Indiana, I think the paranormal investigating team, we talked with those two gentlemen and they said, you know, they had a case. I was just telling somebody about this the other day, yesterday, that they were trying to work on I think it was Nikki I was telling this to, Morak. But basically they had a case where it was some kind of an incubus entity causing all kinds of havoc, diminishing the health of their client. And they were working on it. They did all their cleansing routines. Things seem to be going okay. Then they get another call a week later. It's like, no, it's back. And it's like, okay, we'll come back out. And they're like, well, we don't understand this. We did all the rituals and the cleansings and the things. And then they noticed a Ouija board under the couch. And they said, you're still talking to this thing. It's like, well, yeah, but I know I'm not supposed to, but it's so interesting. And he's lonely and wanted the company. Yeah. And it doesn't matter what it's from or how negative it is.
Open all the windows and doors.
And they were like, you said, well, we're going to have to drop this because if you don't want this gone, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah. Right.
We can only do so much.
Yeah.
Right.
Your partner found your burner Ouija board. It's not a good look. It's not a good look.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, well, you were wasting everyone's time here. And we've heard that many times before, though, is that people get to a point where they want any kind of interaction, no matter how negative it is. And it's kind of sad, but you kind of have to go through it. And then you have to decide, have you had enough? And hopefully you're not down to such a point where now you can't get rid of it.
Think that's probably what most people are thinking about us right now. So
we're going to try one more time with this.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Why not? I mean, here's the thing. Okay, so but there is supposedly some kind of spirit that resides down here in this basement. And there are plenty of stories from staff and visitors that something has interacted with them. And we'll see if anything is down here, other than just, again, toilet flushing. We've heard that an entity resides down here in this space. Would that spirit, being, person, entity, talk to us now in our audience and just tell us your name or relay a message, please?
We've heard that an entity resides down here in this space. Would that spirit, being, person, entity, talk to us now in our audience and just tell us your name or relay a message, please?
Well, what was that last part?
All right.
The very last part was...
All right, one more time.
I shouldn't say, because then you hear it if I say what I thought
that's
I heard.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, you're so not to...
Everybody write down on a piece of paper what they think it says.
Yeah.
Here's quick,
we need 200 pieces section. Of paper.
We've heard that an entity resides down here in this space. Would that spirit, being, person, entity, talk to us now in our audience and just tell us your name or relay a message, please?
Okay, so I want to say something away.
Yeah.
The first thing I'm going to say is this is proof that the DR-60 does not always get the screaming man. So a lot of people. No, but that's, and it's funny, but by the same token, there are a lot of people, and especially skeptics on the internet, who will tell you, oh, it's a screaming man, it's a tech problem, that's all this is. We get these things on this thing too that sound much more like clear language, and there's not a tech problem that it's going to have that's going to produce both of those scenarios. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I don't know, but that the thing at the end there, let's go down the line. What do you hear?
I thought I heard, I couldn't make out all of it, but I thought I clearly heard the word speaking. Like I'm speaking, speaking now.
I heard that as well.
Okay. I thought I heard begin was what I thought.
But. And I heard speaking.
Oh, how many people heard speaking? Okay.
Nice.
Jill, what did you think you heard? Greetings.
Oh, greetings. It's a lot of salutation material.
Yeah.
All right, let's play it one more time now that everybody has a word in their head.
Okay, and try to distinguish if it's somebody, again, for people thinking this is something on the walkie-talkie, this has no radio signal capability to receive.
Yeah, we went through all of that in the Sally House.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah. People think, well, it can kind of pick it up anyway. It doesn't need it.
you know, that's debatable. But
all right,
here
go
we
fast,
go.
Because we got a jet.
We've heard that an entity resides down here in this space. Would that spirit, being person, entity, talk to us now in our audience and just tell us your name or relay a message, please?
I clearly heard the word speaking.
Yeah. I heard it now. Yeah.
Now
that you guys said it.
Okay.
Well, now that we know what it is for sure.
Yeah, speaking.
That's it.
Yeah, we need to have a conversation with it, I guess. But firstly, I want to thank everybody for coming down here and sitting through this in the heat with us. Thank you very, very much. I'd like to remind everybody to check out the new show, Scared All the Time. These guys are great. It's completely different from us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Also, check out The Midnight Library and Richard Haddam's Paranormal Bookshelf.
Yes, absolutely. Those are all Astonishing Legends shows. Please check them out.
Yeah, we'd like to thank Astonishing Legends for having us.
Absolutely.
And for building a network that sounds, it's like got a lot of different stuff that is for a lot of different people, which is really rad.
Yeah.
And then also, I think personally, we'd like to thank, we met some volunteers, Small Town Monster volunteers,
Matt, and they're great.
So thanks and shout out to the volunteers and the Small Town Monsters people.
Yes, absolutely.
Really
and
awesome.
We're going back up to our table. We're all there. So come by and see us if you haven't done that already. We'll be there until they close the floor today.
Great.
And thanks again for coming. Woo! Thanks very much.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, everyone.
See you next time.
And good night.
That's going to wrap up episode 286 of Astonishing Legends, live from MonsterFest 2024. A very special thanks to India, Corinne, and Kate for sharing their stories with us tonight. We're still on our summer schedule, but we've only got one dark week before the next two shows in a row are released on back-to-back weeks. Meanwhile, find and subscribe to the other shows from the Astonishing Legends Network, The Midnight Library, Scared All the Time, and Richard Haddam's Paranormal Bookshelf. We have links to all of them in our show notes. You can also find us at patreon.com/astonishinglegends.
Astonishing Legends is edited by Sarah Voorhees-Wendell at VW Sound and co-produced by Tess Feifel, who is also head of research and the social media manager. Our technical producer is Ed Vacola, or as we call him, The Mechanic. Special thanks to our announcer, John Boland.
Hi.
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 I'm Elise.
I'm Chris Perez.
I'm Tony, Galaxy Wide.
I understand this is with no implied promise.
However they see fit.
In perpetuity.
Galaxy Wide.
Our theme, which is available as a ringtone, was composed by Judson Crane at foundermusic.com. All other music and sound design for the show is composed and created by Alan Caressia.
Our logo was created by Tommy Beaver Design. And our animated graphics for social media and YouTube are done by Joshua Sloan at deadstreetproductions.com.
Every episode going back to September of 2020 has a transcription available on its corresponding webpage at our website. Earlier transcriptions can be made available upon request to astonishingcontact@gmail.com.
Astonishing Legends would not be possible without you, our listeners. Visit our store at astonishinglegends.com or interact with us and other listeners on Instagram, Twitter, Discord, Facebook, and YouTube.
You can also visit us at patreon.com/astonishinglegends, where patrons have access to additional bonus content, including the Patreon-exclusive show Astonishing Junk Drawer, which is available every week the main show is not. No part of this show may be reproduced anywhere without permission. Copyright Astonishing Legends Productions.
Good night.